Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Thank you for taking time to join us as we take time to learn from God's Word together. The message you are about to hear comes from the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Listen to more sermons or learn more about the church at our website, capenazarene.org.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, the gospel of our Lord. John's an interesting gospel. As with the other three Gospels, it tells an origin story. But it differs from the other ones. Mark, who I believe has ADHD, skips over the entire birth and just says, there's a man from Galilee, and goes into it. Matthew and Luke, on the other hand, start with the birth of Jesus, and they tell of the prophecies told that would lead to the Christ child, and they told of where he was born, and they told of shepherds who would come to see him, and the Magi who would come to see him. And they told of his birth. They told of where Jesus came from. And John also gives us an origin story. But instead of looking at it from the earthly perspective of, this is how he was born, this is what came of his birth, John gives a more heavenly or a theological view of the birth of Jesus. He goes beyond the origin of the man Jesus to the God that Jesus is. And so John starts us off at the very beginning of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and that Word became flesh and lived among us. Now, to me, when I was younger, that was always such a weird passage, because when I think of words, I think of words, something coming out of the mouth. And especially as someone who, growing up, I spent 13 or 14 years in speech therapy, and so words have always mattered to me, and hearing this section, the Word became flesh, and trying to imagine what that means, and what it means for the Word to be God, and the Word was God. And over the last few years, as I've read the Bible more critically and more in depth, and have been learning, one of the things that I was taught, and when I was taught it, everything just clicked, is that John's beginning ties us right back to the beginning in Genesis. the very first words in the Bible are "in the beginning," and John echoes that. And so this passage is bringing us all the way back to Genesis 1. And Bible quiz real quick. How did God create in the beginning? With his word. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, "Let there be the seas and the land." God said, "Let there be animals of every kind." In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered it. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, and God spoke, and creation came into being. The word of God was bringing about creation. All that was created through the word that God was speaking. And everything came into being through this word. And without this word, nothing came into being. And so I began to see that, oh, Jesus is the word of God, because Jesus is God breathed. He was always with God, and as God is ever being, so was the Son with God. And that in the beginning, when God was creating through his word. And I'm kind of a geek when it comes to languages. I often make the joke that out of the languages that I've studied, English is definitely my worst language. To this day, I'm still not sure the purpose of a semicolon. But with other languages, I'm able to pick up on. And one of the words that jumped out to me in this text is, and I'm going to have to pace myself to make sure I pronounce it right, egeneto, which is the word when we say he came into being, or everything came into being through the word. Everything was egeneto through the word. And that word, egeneto, not the word, literally means to be born. And so another way that we could read part of this verse is, all things were born through him, and apart from him, nothing was born. Apart from the word of God, Jesus Christ, nothing was born. And yet, we see Jesus, who through all was born, becomes born out of that which he creates. And so that which was intimately involved in creation, that which was going through and getting his hands muddy as he was creating and bringing to life, that same one who was giving birth is the one who is now being birthed. He that created flesh and blood took on his own creation through flesh and blood. And the word became flesh, and he lived among us. John makes another early biblical reference. This section of God dwelling among us makes a leap back to the book of Exodus. Because the word for to live among us, or he dwelt among us, is literally the same word as tabernacle. And God came and he tabernacled among us. And the tabernacle was what was put in place while the Israelites were journeying out of Egypt and into the promised land while they waited. It was the place that they had set up to come and worship God, and where they would meet the presence of God. And so God tabernacled among them in the tents that they carried. And that was where God was to be found, and that was where they were to meet God, and that was where they were to rest in God and worship God. And here we see John telling us that this same idea is what Jesus did. Jesus came and he took on flesh and he literally tabernacled amongst us. He dwelt among us. Jesus in his flesh and blood is the very place where God was to be found. The presence of God was Jesus. The place where rest in God is found was in Jesus himself. Tommy and I were talking just a little bit ago about how everywhere Jesus went, people found rest in him. The sick were healed. The lame were able to walk. Those who were just without joy found joy because they had met Jesus. The place of God was found in Jesus. And so it constantly blows my mind, and it's hard to preach about because it's hard to think about because it's hard to understand how that which is outside of all of creation, that which created all of creation, entered into creation and took on creation that he might redeem creation, that which was lost and destroyed and made ugly through sin and death, that he would come into that and that he would sanctify it by taking it on. It makes me think of Jewish law, which said, if you touched an unclean thing, you were made unclean. And yet, here God is taking on something unclean that it might be made clean, completely reversing how things were. That God, who so loved his creation, would literally come into it and get in the dirt of it. And now when I say he got in the dirt of it, I literally mean that, and I mean it in two different ways. One was that God's self, literally took on human flesh. He took on flesh and blood. And if we look back to the book of Genesis, we see that our bodies were made out of the dust of the ground. Out of the dirt, God made man. The name for man, Adam, literally comes from the word ground, Adama. Adam from Adama, man from the ground. And so he literally took on the dirt and got dirty to restore us and redeem us. And this next part I almost hesitated as to whether or not to include this because it's dirty. It's kind of gross. It's not clean. And it's as we think about Christmas, we like to think of the sparkly lights and the shiny wrapping paper and the bows, and this isn't that, but hopefully I don't get in trouble for talking about this, but I'm going to. When I say that he literally got into the dirt of his creation, part of what I mean is even where he was born. He was born in a manger. And I know we have this nativity scene over here, and it's a beautiful nativity scene with the animals and everyone gathering around the Christ child. And it's a pleasant scene to look at. But I don't know how many of you all have ever been on a farm or have ever owned a farm. Farms are not cute all the time. My family in Western Pennsylvania owns a farm, and I love being there. But every time I go back there, the first thing is you get hit with that stench. You get hit with the cows are in the field. Yep, that smells like a goat. Just, you you get hit with that smell. In Jesus, the Son of God, our High King, came and was born in a manger, which was in a stable for animals, which was disgusting, as that was where not only where animals ate, but that was also where they took what came out of an animal. The refuse of creation was in this stable. God, who, I don't know about you, but when I think of God coming, I would think it'd be a little bit more royal than a dirty manger, than a stall filled with waste. But that's where Jesus comes. He comes into creation to redeem creation. And he came into our flesh and blood to redeem our flesh and blood. And he came born into the nastiest parts of creation so that he could redeem even the nastiest parts of creation. And when I think about the nastiest parts of creation, I don't even necessarily think of the waste. I think of just how vile we can be, of how I didn't plan on crying at this part, but even how just reading some of the stuff on the news about different leaders calling for more weapons and more bombs, of people driving trucks into city markets, of families being torn apart, of having to be on high alert to gather together in churches. I think of the nastiness of humanity and how nasty we can be to one another. And that's where God comes into. And even though all of this, which is so unclean, it didn't faze God. I was over at South Portland Church of the Nazarene last night for their Christmas Eve service. And Pastor Tim talked about how you don't imagine God to go, you know, to those unclean places. You expect God to stay out of that almost as if God expects us to be better before we come to him. But no, it's that God comes to us while we are so far from God, and that's where God is beginning his redemption, is that God embraced the dirty, and he made it a holy place. It makes no sense in my mind, apart from the goodness of God, that the place that we would adore every year is a manger and a stable. When I think of places and houses and things that I would love to live in, a stable isn't one of them. But that's where God gives his glory, in the unclean and the nasty is where God came to dwell that he might redeem it. And so one of the things I was thinking about is imagining what the Word who dwells among us can do if we allow him room in ourselves, in the stables of our lives, in the dirty parts of our lives that we don't want others to know about. What if we allowed him room in our messy lives so that we could experience redemption out of it, and that we could live out of that redemption, and that we could be made like the sons of God? We call ourselves Christians, which literally just means little Christ. And so as imitators of Christ, as Christians, We're called to go to the messy parts of creation. We're called to go there to meet Christ's redemption in and among it and to recognize that those are the places that Christ is at work. I was asked earlier why I'm wearing the robe again today, and I made the remark that today's a high holy day. And again, that shows the reversal of the kingdom of God, that a day that is where birth happened and where there was human waste and animal waste. And those of you that have children in the room can speak more into this than I can, but from my understanding, birth is not a clean process. It's messy. And that day, today, is one of our holiest days of the year. And that even for me to put this on is a reminder of what I'm called to, and to not view anything of myself of up here, but to put on the garb of a servant, and even not always literally to put on a servant's robe, but to live out a servant's life, and to go to the messiest parts of creation, and again to know that that's where God is working, that that's where God is doing stuff, is God is in the dirt of things. Henry Nouw, who is a well-beloved theologian, says this quote, "Christians are called to live into the incarnation. That is, they're called to live into the body, not only their own bodies, but also the corporate body of the community, and to discover there the presence of the Holy Spirit." That when we go out into the world, when we go into that which is secular and unholy, that we find the Holy Spirit at work there. That as we go to the coffee shops, or as we go to the garage, as we go to the stores, as we go to those places in our community that we think they need Jesus, to remember that Jesus is there working in and amongst them, and we're called to recognize that Holy Spirit at work there and to join in to the work that's being done. And I've said this a few times over the last few weeks, but the kingdom of heaven and our King are often found in the places where we wouldn't expect it. Like today, he's found in a stable. We find God and we find the kingdom of heaven in those places because Jesus, by taking on creation, has made it possible that creation could take on heaven. And that we could embody heaven, that we could truly live thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so we see heaven and earth can now meet. And heaven is breaking through and earth is breaking through into heaven because the one who created the heavens and the earth has joined them together in his own flesh and blood. The things of heaven are now the things of earth. If we only have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. God and sinner reconciled, and they're continuing to be reconciled, and they will continue to be reconciled because God, instead of calling us to go up to him, came down to us. Saint Irenaeus says a short quote that I love and I think of during the Christmas season. Christ opened heaven for us in the personhood he assumed. God is with us, and that's why we gather here today. If you would join me in praying. Inspiring word, move over the chaos within us, calling forth form and order, that we may know you in our shaping, and in our shaping, surrender our lives to you. Illuminating word, pierce the darkness within us, calling forth insight and understanding, that we may know you in our seeing, and in our seeing, follow the way of your kingdom. Incarnate word, indwell the life within us, calling forth passion and purpose, that we may know you in our living, and in our living, embody you for the world. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. May God richly bless you as you serve him today.